Today, our scripture will be taken from the Old Testament prophet Zephaniah. And I won't be reading a traditional translation. Today, I'll be reading an English translation of the Tanakh, which is a canonical collection of Hebrew scriptures. So we will begin with chapter 3 of Zephaniah, reading from verse 14 through verse 20. And this is what is written there. Shout for joy, fair Zion. Cry aloud, O Israel. Rejoice and be glad with all your heart, fair Jerusalem. The Lord has annulled the judgment against you. He has swept away your foes. Israel's sovereign, the Lord, is within you. You need fear misfortune no more. In that day, this shall be said to Jerusalem. Have no fear, O Zion. Let not your hands droop. Your God, the Lord, is in your midst, a warrior who brings triumph. He will rejoice over you and be glad. He will shout over you with jubilation. He will soothe with his love. Those long disconsolate, I will take away from you the woe over which you endured mockery. At that time, I will make an end of all who afflicted you, and I will rescue the lame sheep and gather the strayed, and I will exchange their disgrace for fame and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will gather you, and at that time, I will bring you home. For I will make you renowned and famous among all the peoples on earth, when I restore your fortunes before their very eyes, said the Lord. And that is the word of God for the people of God. And all of the people say, thanks be to God. Today we'll be looking at and talking about joyful hope as we enter into this time of Advent, the third week. One of the most difficult things to do in life is waiting. And it's difficult for many reasons. It's difficult because in our waiting, we're filled with anticipation. We're looking for something, waiting for something to happen that will bring something we're hoping for in our life situation to some conclusion. And it's in that waiting that we experience hope. And there are two ways in which hope presents itself. There is uncertain hope, hope in which we find ourselves waiting, never sure that what we hope for is ever going to become a reality. And within that uncertain hope, there may exist anxiety, a hope in which we are nervous, perhaps even pacing while we wait to hear that what we're waiting for is either coming or it isn't. Fearful hope may exist even. Hope that rests on the notion that what we desire is either not coming or that when it comes, it will not deliver what we had expected. There may be other ways to experience uncertain hope, but fear and anxiety are its two most common waiting postures. On the other side, there is certain hope. We may experience certain hope as patient hope. That kind of hope is built upon the uncertainty of when something is going to happen, but there may be the calm assurance that it is going to happen. And so we wait patiently, knowing that sooner or later, what we hope for will arrive. We're neither anxious nor afraid, but assured and confident. But then there is joyful hope. And in joyful hope, there is emotion. In joyful hope, the days of anticipation have a coming end. In joyful hope, we're filled with the elation of knowing that everything we wanted, everything we desired, everything we've been promised is on the horizon. Therein lies the kind of hope that God's people can expect to know. That is the kind of hope that should fill God's people today. So let me ask a question. If you had to wait 400 years to get what you had been promised, what kind of hope do you think you might be experiencing? To be sure, some people might have given up hope altogether, believing that they would never live to see 400 years. Believing, what's the point? In that belief, there is a hope that leads to a futility of thought and hopelessness. There might be some who would become numb by the waiting, unable to experience any feelings at all. And that hope, too, might be considered a dying hope, hope without any real life in it at all. And what if you knew that your waiting period was still another 200 years out? What would that do to your hope? You might say that it would be difficult to say because not one of us sitting here today is 600 years old. In our lifetime, it might be safe to say that our hope would die within us. That's certainly one way of looking at it. But if a prophet of God, someone we knew and believed to speak on God's behalf, came to us and said, "Shout for joy, fair Zion, cry aloud, O Israel, rejoice and be glad with all your heart, fair Jerusalem, the Lord has annulled the judgment against you." I would imagine that it would be a great day of rejoicing. I imagine that to find out that we've already been granted amnesty, acquitted from our past indiscretions, that God was working on our behalf to set us free from previous judgments, even though we hadn't yet received our freedom, we would begin living with the joyful hope of that day coming. That's the context of our message today. The Jewish people living within and beneath God's judgment upon them now hear from the prophet Zephaniah, telling the people that whatever judgment God had rendered in the past, God has now annulled. They might not feel the weight of the annulment at its announcement, but that God would remove the weight of their judgment is a day of rejoicing, a day of joyful hope. They had lived as people broken from the oppression of other nations. They had lived with the fear and tragedies that life in general can heap on people. They had lived with the feeling of being separated from their God in ways that I'm sure at times left them hopeless. And yet this day, their time of judgment has come to pass. This day, they find themselves standing in the doorway of God's promise of redemption and restoration. And it didn't matter that generations had lived for years without a sense of hope. Years away from Mary's delivery of Jesus, Zephaniah's message was still a message to fill the people with joyful hope. It was still a message of redemption and salvation. It was still a message of forgiveness and restoration. It was still a message of joy and hope to all who believe. Yes, it was a message of waiting, but it was a message of waiting with assured hope. And those of us today are standing in the doorway of God's promise and the joyful hope that filled the people in Zephaniah's day. Those of us here today are once again preparing to celebrate the fulfillment of God's message from Zephaniah as we once again prepare ourselves to receive God's promise of redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ. The question is, are we? Can we 2,000 plus years subsequent to Zephaniah's message still find a reason to shout for joy, or has our joy denigrated into just another ho-hum remembrance of Jesus's coming without even so much as a whimper of celebration? You see, friends, in some ways, we're all broken. Life breaks us. Broken promises break us. Disappointments break us. People who are working against us, our enemies, they break us. Fear and tragedies that naturally come to us in life have the capacity to break us, to tear us down and strip us of both hope and joy. And so sometimes it's not easy to find joy in life. That's especially true if we're looking for that kind of joyful hope that puts a smile on our faces and allows us to greet each morning with one of those "look out world, nothing can get me down today" attitudes. But it's not easy finding that joyful hope. It's never easy. Joyful hope is not in the place where we're simply waiting for something to happen, but it's where we're looking toward that certainty of knowing that it's going to happen, and we look toward it with joy. Indecision, a book written by a young woman who is confined to a wheelchair, her name is Joni Erickson Tada. She writes that honesty is the best policy, but especially when you're surrounded by a crowd of women in a restroom during a break at a Christian women's conference. One woman who was in the restroom with her putting on lipstick said to Joni, "Oh, Joni, you always look so together, so happy in your wheelchair. I wish I had that joy." Several women were around. Joni nodded. "How do you do it?" she asked as she put her lipstick cap back on. And Joni said, "I don't do it. In fact," she said, "may I tell you honestly how I woke up this morning?" And they all said yes. And she said, "This is an average day. After my husband, Ken, leaves for work at 6 o'clock a.m., I'm all alone until I hear the front door open at 7 a.m. That's when a friend arrives to get me up. And while I listen to her make coffee, I pray, oh, Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath and get me dressed, sit me up in my chair and brush my hair and teeth, send me out the door. I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take into the day, but you do. May I have yours? God, I need you desperately." So one of the friends asked, "So what happens when your friend comes through the bedroom door?" And Joni turned to her and said, I turn my head toward her and give her a smile sent straight from heaven. It's not my smile. It's God's smile." And as she said this, she said, gesturing to her paralyzed legs, "Whatever joy you see today was hard won this morning." That's why finding joy with hope is never easy. While it may be the thing on our agenda, it may take more work than other people are aware of. And so our struggle is finding a reason to have joyful hope to overcome those things in life that break us, and then finding a reason to have joy in that hope. In hearing that story, perhaps we may never have asked the question, what would have happened if at 7 o'clock a.m. Joni's friend hadn't come through the door? It could have been, might have been, just one more thing that happens in life to break us and take away our joy. And that's why hearing the good news, even though it places us in the waiting room of life, can fill us with joyful hope. Good news delivered gives us something to look forward to, with the joy of knowing that it's going to happen and the certainty that what we've hoped for is coming. In the movie Rudy, Rudy has overcome so many obstacles that he's really been a champion. And he was finally able to make the practice squad for the Notre Dame football team. But his family not only never believed in him, they really never believed in their own potential either. And so Rudy took it upon himself. He built up the courage to plead with his coach to let him dress for one game in his senior year to prove to everyone that he really is on the team. Now, after years of wanting to play Notre Dame football, after years of longing to play Notre Dame football, after waiting to play and needing to play and hoping to play Notre Dame football, Rudy garnered the courage to go to the coach. And laying his hope on the line, Rudy asked the coach to let him suit up. Not play, but just suit up one game, so that his parents and his friends and co-workers at the mill would know he really was a part of the team. Presenting his tarnished and broken hope to the coach to be able to suit up just one game, the coach said yes to Rudy. He could suit up one game next year. He had to wait 1 year. I can only imagine that the years of being on the practice squad and facing the ridicule of his friends and family were things that broke him. But to know that next year he would be able to suit up one game filled him with joyful hope. In the same way, knowing that the promises of God are still unfolding in our lives, knowing that we're still waiting for Christ to come again. Those are the promises of God that fill us with joyful hope. Not that we have received everything that God has promised, but we live with the joyful hope of God's faithfulness. We live with the joyful hope that one day every promise given by our God will come to pass. We live today with the joyful hope that Christ has not only come, but that Christ will come again. And so it is that today, the third Sunday of Advent, we live with the joyful hope of God's promises being fulfilled. As Paul said, not that we have already obtained God's promises or have already reached the goal of our joyful hope, but we press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So today, let's be filled with the joyful hope of his coming, because he will come. He may not come in our generation. He may not come in our lifetime, but our joyful hope is not that he will come today. Our joy and our hope is that when he does come, he will claim us as his very own. That is the joyful hope that moves us through this season of Advent, where we are called to remember once again his coming and called to live with the joyful hope that he will come again. And that is the word of God for the people of God.